You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hi, this is Jay Holloway, and you're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, welcome back to the Pharmacy Podcast. Before today's extremely special episode, this is a first for the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. I just want to give a shout out to the listeners. There are so many of you who have been incredible supporters over the last 10 years, and I just feel honored to be pharmacy's greatest fan in building this network. Over 40 participating pharmacists contributing to over 30 channels on the network. If you ever have an idea for an episode that you think we've missed information that should be told or refreshed, because you can imagine with 900 plus episodes, there's many of those episodes that in fact do need refreshed, please reach out to me. I can be reached at publisher@pharmacypodcast.com, or you can tweet me at Pharmacy Podcast, also on Instagram, Facebook, very easy to find, Pharmacy Podcast. Once again, today is a special opportunity for us to learn together. I feel honored to welcome, for the first time on the Pharmacy Podcast Network, Jay Holloway, and the special story that he has to share with us about the world of gay, lesbian, and transgender in the healthcare profession, and what and how that impacts us as individuals in the pharmacy industry. But more importantly, how are we making others feel, as well as how are we working together to ultimately deliver the best patient healthcare that we can? Jay, welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. We collaborated on Twitter first. I can't tell you how many pharmacists I've met. As I said, I'm your greatest fan, and I follow about 5,000 pharmacy professionals. We have about 22,000 followers, and I enjoyed collaborating with you, meeting you there, and then setting this opportunity up to talk with you.
Well, thank you so much. I've been honestly looking for an opportunity to talk about LGBT representation in pharmacy and what we can do to make the profession of pharmacy more inclusive to not only just patients, but also to practitioners as well.
So let me start off with a little bit of a, I guess you'd call it just sharing, because of my naivety and really not understanding. So I'm 47 years old. I've been married for quite so many years, 3 children, and I'm very hyperactive. I blast through my days and my weeks at probably 80 miles an hour, looking at so many different aspects of our industry, the challenges of independent pharmacy, PBM reform, technology, and I feel like I've blown past this issue altogether. I'm kind of giving a I don't know very much about this. I have some close friends that are gay. In the industry, I have, I hold them in high esteem as I would any friend I've collaborated with and talked with about the topic of being gay as a professional. But I don't get it. Like, I, because of something not it experiencing with me, and I've even confided in you, Jay, that I felt shunned over not being a pharmacist in many different aspects of being in the business of pharmacy since 2004. But that's pretty light in comparison to what gay people have gone through over the years and what they faced being made feel very bad about themselves by others who don't understand them. So I just want to start off with your personal story, so you can use this platform as testimony of what you went through and share whatever you'd like, because I think this is a special opportunity for, once again, for us to all learn.
Absolutely. And before I say my story, I would like to preface that my story as a trans person in pharmacy. It's just my story. It's not necessarily the general story of all LGBT people in pharmacy. Being LGBTQ is a identity that is very intersectional with many aspects of our life. So even someone who has had a similar background growing up as me may have a completely different experience. But I always like to provide my particular life story as well, just to add to the collection of stories that we have. So I'm a relatively new pharmacist. I went to Kansas University School of Pharmacy from 2009 to, well, Kansas University. I started in the pharmacy program in 2011, graduated in 2016. I started out as a float pharmacist with Safeway in the Denver, Colorado region, and then later, in 2018, I took on a position as pharmacy manager in Ainsworth, Nebraska as the Shopko pharmacy manager because I wanted to get a taste of small town rural pharmacy care and the unique community opportunities that that gives. Shopko, unfortunately, then the company went bankrupt, and we were then purchased by Ainsworth Town Drug in early 2019. And since then, I have been helping out as a community pharmacist there, getting to provide care and counseling and medication dispensing and all the related community pharmacy services for this area of North Central Nebraska. And it's been very fulfilling so far. I also, on the personal side of things, I consider myself a trans mask non-binary person. So I don't exactly feel like I identify completely as a guy, but somewhere in that region, per se. I go by either he, him, or they, them pronouns, and I sort of came out in 2014, but I really decided that I wanted to work in LGBTQ health issues about tentatively around 2016, 2017, but late 2018, early 2019, I really solidified it as what I want to do with my pharmacy career.
So Jay, I have absolutely the clearest of understanding and vision to delivering healthcare to anyone in need, whether that be a surgery, emergency services, pharmacy services, medication therapy management review. When it comes to patients, I get it. What I don't get, because I'm not experiencing this at all in my own life, is the hardships and the obstacles that could face a provider, a pharmacist, a doctor, a nurse. And there are at HRC.org, a human rights campaign that does a lot of research on this topic that we're talking about today. So what challenges have you seen in your own career being a transgender that has provided you with kind of the anti-opportunity in growing in your own career? What have you faced? And you don't have to, you don't have to say anything that you don't want to say, but I'm curious, and I'm sure our listeners are curious, and there's probably other transgender, gay professionals out there who would absolutely love to hear from you.
I think the core difficulty has been a lack of visibility. And when I was in pharmacy school, I was not aware of any other LGBT colleagues. We didn't have an LGBT organization within the pharmacy school itself. There was an LGBT organization within the university. Many universities, thankfully, are having LGBT organizations. And unfortunately, pharmacy as a profession, we do not have a LGBT pharmacist organization. Many other professions do. For example, there's the GLMA, which is gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender providers, such as doctors, nurses, etc. There's also the American Medical Association LGBT Advisory Committee. There is the American Medical Student Association Gender and Sexuality Action Committee. But at the moment, there are no current LGBTQ pharmacist organizations. So that ends up having a lack of visibility in our organization. And for example, I didn't know any other colleagues. Until I graduated, I knew one other transgender pharmacist, and he's the only other one I know. But thankfully, when I have been receiving some support, because I went to ASHP mid-year and there was an LGBTQ networking reception. And when I went there, I was at first expecting maybe only a dozen or so people at the most, but there were tons of people there, and we all met each other, and it was just absolutely eye-opening to know you're not alone in this profession, and there's so many others, and I want to get something established in that regard. Though the lack of openness, I can't fault people for that, because in many states, there are no anti-discrimination laws that include sexual orientation and especially gender identity in employment. There are many states where pharmacists can be fired for their sexual orientation or gender identity. So I can completely understand if other professionals want to keep that close to their chest. However, despite that risk, I really feel like, me personally, I will never fault someone for deciding to stay private about that. I want to be open because I believe that in order for patients to be completely open and honest and safe with me, especially LGBTQ patients, I want to be able to be open and honest with myself, because I believe that the best care can be provided through trust.
That's a really good point. Let's back up for a second and talk about discrimination from a law perspective or a policy perspective. And you're saying at every state, regardless of race or sex, there are policies in place to protect opportunities in the workforce. However, you had said that sexual orientation is not covered. And I know of people in my own circles who have a very hard time understanding why that's necessary, including myself in some aspects. And what I mean by that is, sometimes I don't think it's necessary to identify, almost like me saying to anyone that might question it, why don't you mind your own business and do your job? For example, if you're a pharmacist and you're a manager of a pharmacist, and you find out that one of your pharmacists are gay or transgender, and it's not impacting their performance as a healthcare provider, to me, I shrug my shoulders and say, why in the world would that matter what their sexual orientation is if they're able to provide the care that any other pharmacist would be able to provide? However, I think what you're bringing to the table is that there's more to it than that, whereas I try to pack everything either into the white category or the black category in the way of saying it's either this way or that way, and let's stop splitting hairs. But there's, like I said, my not understanding of it, and I want to understand more in order to be more empathetic and more open and more understanding, and we have to be. So share with us from my perspective, and you can beat that up as much as you want. I absolutely don't mind that. As a matter of fact, I want us to kind of dig into this.
Yes. So while on the surface it does feel like yes, if a person is a good pharmacist, then it shouldn't ultimately matter. But these laws that protect from or allow employment discrimination in the United States, it comes more into details. For example, providing insurance to spouses, being able to provide for your partner, being able to have your employer provide health insurance to cover transition-related services. It's much more, it goes much more deeper than just, I'm able to be open in public. It often comes down to a lot of financial and legal safety nets as well.
What countries, Jay, have you read about or have researched, or even if you've traveled, do you think are doing it right, that they get it, that they understand, and what kind of impacts does that have to the culture or society?
I've mostly been focusing within the United States because as a United States-centric pharmacist, I feel like that's probably the best. I would say one of the good examples is California. Their non-discrimination policies include both sexual orientation and gender identity. They also, in the sphere of criminal law, they also have outlawed something called the gay panic or trans panic defenses, which is if an LGBT individual is targeted by someone for a hate crime, they cannot use as a legal defense, oh, I found out this person was gay, or I found out this person was trans, and it startled me so much that I was spurred to violence. Now, that's not necessarily something that hopefully pharmacists come in contact with, but it's something that could be considered, that if a pharmacist is unfortunately subjected to discrimination or violence, if it is not protected, then they cannot have that charged as a hate crime. But that is in the much more serious side of things. Having just a you cannot discriminate based off of sexual orientation and gender identity puts a lot of power in the hands of practitioners to protect themselves when they face things like microaggressions, like snide comments from coworkers. That gives them the opportunity to speak up without feeling like their careers are, and therefore their livelihoods, are in danger.
So where do you think the balance is? This is something that I've always wondered myself, and I don't have an answer for this, and not an exact answer. I have an opinion, but what's the balance between free speech and what is being deemed as hate? And sometimes from my perspective, I feel like the hate crime or the hate speech is overused. It's almost like a go-to expression in order to be the catch-all, when sometimes there aren't people on either side that have a good argument or have good information to back up what they're trying to convey. And that's regardless of what, you know, I don't think there should be sides, by the way, in healthcare. I think it should be blended because, like I said, we're caring for patients, so it shouldn't matter. However, we have to deal with it. So what's your opinion on the difference between free speech and what we would deem as hate, or as impairing someone from doing their job or making somebody feel very uncomfortable?
I was personally taught by my pharmacist mentor back when I was a intern and a burgeoning new pharmacy student that the ultimate thing when you are a pharmacist, or any practitioner for that matter, is to see a patient as nothing else but a fellow human in need. And you should be able to put your preconceptions regarding another person at the door and to be able to provide the care they need. And when you have speech or opinions that is ultimately detrimental to a patient getting care, then that is what I feel goes into beyond free speech and what goes into the definition of hate speech, like thoughts or actions or words that go into preventing our patients from getting coverage or preventing our patients from seeking care or preventing providers from being able to practice and care for their patients in safety and security.
So that in fact, that's where we agree from the patient perspective, the healthcare professional. Once again, you're hired as a pharmacist, you're treating a patient, the patient comes in, it's a male that's dressed up in a dress. You are supposed to treat them as you would any patient, regardless of their appearance or your opinions or your personal views on who they are, how they identify. For me, that is in that black and white world for me to not have to differentiate or have an opinion on. That's easy for me to understand. Where I have a hard time understanding is when I read something on the USA Today and there's a court case or someone suing somebody and there's opinions involved as to where the lines are drawn, I always want to challenge both sides to see things from the other person's perspective. And I think we need more of that. We're in such a it's incredibly divided from a political perspective in my lifetime now more than ever with regards to politics. And lots of that is driven by no one understanding the other person's viewpoint. However, how that is supported by the laws of the land, whether that be state, federal, county, whatever it may be. But you and I agree, as I'm hoping everyone listening to this podcast can agree, that when it comes to providing care, you should have blinders on from a perspective of how that patient is made to be accepted, how they're made to feel based on your providing care to them. Where it becomes more of a debate per se, or a discussion per se, is beyond that, where it becomes how you and I would be received in a job interview for the exact same position if we were both pharmacists. I'm not a pharmacist, so I'd lose out if I were going for the job. You'd win, Jay. But if I were a pharmacist and you and I went for a position at the Cleveland Clinic for a health system position, and we had basically the same time on the job, the same experiences, the same specialities, and if it came down to the perception of us, of our sexual orientation, therein lies where we start getting into the real necessary weeds to make decisions as organizations and as societies of how to handle that. What do you think of that?
I believe that the best solution to overcoming these barriers in the profession with regards to difficulties that LGBTQ people face within the pharmacy profession is to uplift and increase the representation and visibility of LGBTQ individuals in our field. And that can be approached with many ways. That can be establishing organizations within our profession that are safe spaces for these marginalized individuals, and as a collective allows them to have a voice in our pharmacy discussions, and allows them, if they have the opportunity and the energy to do so, because not every marginalized individual is obligated to, nor they have the time nor energy to be an educator or an advocate for their own humanity and their right to participate without discrimination in society. But for folks like me who really revel in the education of other individuals. As a group, we could provide education to our fellow colleagues, not only how to best address these issues as pharmacists within the fields of employment and legal protections, but also, since pharmacists are also patients, we can also talk about our experiences as patients and how we can make patient experiences better, and we can be advocates for the people who come to us at these community and hospital pharmacies and how to make their experiences better and uplift their voices as well. So I really think at the core of all this, visibility and representation is the greatest thing, because the best resources that we can get for in order to improve conditions in the pharmacy profession for LGBTQ individuals is lived experience.
So I've been a part and have supported other organizations that have risen recently, even within the last 24 months, who have brought light to other issues in healthcare, where women, for example, through the Pharmacist Moms Group, which was developed by Susie Solomon, brought a tremendous amount of knowledge to healthcare and healthcare professionals about what a pharmacist mom goes through in her professional life that has been challenging, such like examples like breastfeeding or enough time off to become rehabilitated from going through pregnancy and birthing, and just the challenges that you have as a female alone, let alone being a mom, let alone being a professional pharmacist and working, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 hours a week. So what I think you're on to, Jay, is developing that same type of advocacy and knowledge for people that are experiencing that directly, and the type of stereotyping that gets stamped on their head, which is invisible, and what they go through in their professional life. Once again, I don't find it hard to advocate or expect the patient to be respected regardless, but I do see where it can be discussed and understood where a provider would experience more of that. And then you start, once again, splitting the hairs of where it needs to most definitely stop and where the LGBTQ community can look at people who just don't get it, but take the time to explain it to them, but they have to be willing to listen. People that are religious or, old-fashioned or whatever you want to call it, prejudice, downright hateful, those people, there's levels that we can start stripping back and peeling back the onion of empathy, where we can start looking at things from another group or person's perspective and feelings, and have that also replicated on both sides, so that someone like you, Jay, might have another conversation with someone like me, and we could get into an issue and go further into this. That's my way of saying you're invited back again, by the way.
thank you.
Yes. So we could really start saying, but here's what I don't understand. And a preface to that is why it matters, meaning not why your feelings or why your professionalism or why your pharmacist abilities with patients matter. Of course that matters. But there are some things that I look at, it could be being naive or not understanding, where I don't think it matters if you're gay or if you're transgender or if, you know, in a professional atmosphere, in a hospital system, in a community pharmacy, in whatever setting that there is. But what I believe I'm hearing you say, and I want this clarified, is it does, you're saying it does matter, and that we have to make sure that it is brought to the table so that employers and work associates and other people, administrators, recognize and accept professionals for who they are.
Yes, exactly. I would say that it absolutely does matter, because in order for a person to practice with confidence, with safety, with the true enthusiasm and passion that myself and I know many other pharmacists have for patient care, it is important to be able to feel safe and accepted in their profession. When you're working in a place and you feel like if people knew you too well, that your livelihood or even your physical safety would be at risk, then it's really hard to let those barriers down and feel like you're able to practice with the most passion and with the most dedication. Being able to feel safe and comfortable in your work environment is of utmost importance. And if there is a problem, the ability to go to someone and being able to be honest and also relay your concerns with confidence. It reminds me a lot of one of my philosophies about patient care, in that I often talk with colleagues who say, I don't think I know any LGBTQ people. And I say, you absolutely do. It's just that they do not feel safe talking to you about that, because unfortunately and tragically, in the current landscape, there are not protections in place that if a person could come forth to you, it's the default almost, that if they come forth to you, even if you are very deeply empathetic and understanding, if you aren't showing proactive display that, yes, we are welcoming, we are understanding, you can be safe here, they are going to assume that it is an unsafe location. And until having these protections in place becomes the default in our profession and in both the employee and the patient side of things, then we really need to be forthright in showing that we are caring, that this is a place where you can be accepted and not judged, and we can have this open dialogue. Hopefully, as more LGBT individuals come into the pharmacy field, which is one of the reasons I'm glad I've been open and out, because for every person who has reacted negatively to me being out, I have met so many people who have gone up to me and said, thank you for being you. You've made my patient care experience a little bit better, even if it's in this small way. And that means everything to me. And you know that by being out there and being patients seeing themselves reflected in their pharmacists, that does worlds of good, because maybe previously they've been afraid to see a pharmacist for fear of how a pharmacist would treat them. So I believe being open and advocating is the best thing I can do and how I can make the most positive impact in our profession.
Well, I want to say on the Pharmacy Podcast, we are honored to have interviewed you. This is a first for the Pharmacy Podcast. I'm privileged. By the way, I'm still your greatest fan, because you, in fact, are a pharmacist. And I want to thank you for sharing your story and really helping our network to bring this to the table. I'm ignorant, like I said, to much of this, and I need more contact and touch and understanding as someone who advocates for the patient, for someone who advocates and supports the pharmacist. I feel like I'm on both sides in some ways. And also, I'm a patient, just like you're a patient. So, you know, we're not hypocritical here when we're saying we need more understanding. So, Dr. Holloway, I thank you for participating today.
Well, thank you. It was a real honor being on the podcast and being able to discuss and advocate for this unique need in pharmacy. And as the pharmacy profession progresses, this is going to need to be addressed, and we're going to need to see visibility for LGBT providers and for patients. So I would invite anyone who's listening, if you have any questions for me or would wonder, especially, what would you like to do to make your sphere of pharmacy more accepting, more LGBT friendly, please feel free to reach out to me via LinkedIn. Also, if you are an LGBTQ pharmacist or pharmacy student, I am currently in the process, me and my colleague Ben Webster are currently forming a mailing group and hopefully trying to turn this mailing group into an organization. So if you are an LGBTQ pharmacist or pharmacy student, please email me at LGBTQ Pharm Group, that's LGBTQ Pharm Group, at gmail.com. We are currently in the process of forming this group. It started just after mid-year, and I've been busy with residency applications and the flu season, of course. So I would be more than happy to hear people reaching out, and I will be sending out newsletters of what can we do in this group and how we can get the ball rolling, per se. And if you are a pharmacist who wants to make your pharmacy more inclusive, but you don't know where to start, contact me. I'd be more than willing to help you brainstorm inclusivity policies and the like. And if you're looking for continuing education regarding LGBT cultural competency, I highly recommend the National LGBT Health Education Center, run by the Fenway Institute. Their URL is lgbthealtheducation.org. There are tons of it's mostly medical-oriented rather than pharmacy-oriented, but you can get a lot of good essential information from there.
Jay, it has been incredible having you on. Thank you for helping us provide this kickoff episode, which I think could become a interactive series with our listener group and our listeners. I'm glad you provided your contact information. If you want to contact Dr. Holloway, the contact information will be in the show notes, and I'm excited about reaching back out to you and Ben as well. Thank you once again. Do you have anything in closing? By the way, are you a podcast consumer? And if you are, what are some of your favorite podcasts?
I am, actually. I have been a big fan of fiction podcasts since, I would say, early 2012. One of my favorite podcasts has been the fictional supernatural podcast called Welcome to Night Vale, which is, the premise is basically Tales from Lake Wobegon meets Twin Peaks. That has been my all-time favorite ongoing story series, and I'm an illustrator in my spare time, so it's inspired a lot of illustrations from me. In terms of non-fictional podcast, my current favorite is Sawbones by Justin McElroy and Dr. Sidney McElroy. It is also known as Sawbones, A Marital Tour of Misguided Medicine. It is a very funny and very informative podcast about the history of medicine and how humankind over the years has tried to solve medical issues. It's a great read if you're also into medical history like I am.
So Jay, I'm a huge science fiction buff, and I just watched Ex Machina last night for like the sixth time. And John Nosta, who is my digital health godfather because of his insights, and he's been on our network several times, he talks a lot about artificial intelligence. I have a science fiction opinion that artificial intelligence will be the transformation of what we know as humanity, and how it could even become the ending of humanity as we know it. But we're going to have to reserve that for another episode.
Yes. Well, I would love to talk sci-fi, since one of my side I won't say I would say hobbies, but I'd like to actually do something with it someday, is sci-fi, how medicine would play a role in sci-fi. Because a lot of the times it isn't. Like, you never see sci-fi stories about pharmacy in the future. And I like to roll together my interests in fiction and my interests in pharmacy.
Yep. Well, thank you again. You were listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. We had special guest Dr. Jay Holloway. He's a staff pharmacist at Ainsworth Town Drug, independent pharmacy, community pharmacy. Jay, thank you so much for being part of the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you have an excellent day.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoy the leading podcast network dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know which channel is your favorite. And remember, the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.